all for joining us tonight. It is an honor to have so many people with us tonight live and really having a chance to join Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tis the season. Tonight's training is specifically going to cover CCL's 2020 legislative plan, what would have been done in D.C. had we been in person, but now we get the benefit of Dr. Dani Richter joining in our own very living rooms, going through to provide us with a training with up-to-the-moment insights on the dynamics in Congress and how we can be most effective with our time in our meetings to support that agenda. A little bit about Dani, and then I'll pass it to him. You know that Dani has been with CCL staff since 2013, and last time we reviewed his history with the D.C. office, but Dani actually came to work on climate by way of medicine, realizing the potential for a warming world is going to make lots of people sick. He figured then that the best thing he could do for the most people was to prevent that warming in the first place, and that led him to pursue a PhD in oceanography from Scripps, figuring that an understanding of past warming and cooling could help him counter that current human-caused warming. So with that, I will pass it to you, Dani. Thank you so much for joining us tonight yourself. Thank you all for tuning in, and we're in for a real treat, so let's enjoy this webinar.
All right, thank you very much, Brett, and thank you, everybody, for joining on this call and taking the time to make sure you're as prepared as possible for your upcoming meetings. So tonight, here's our agenda. I'm first of all going to cover our legislative strategy, both for this lobby day and for the next several months going into the new Congress. And then I'll talk about meeting Congress where they're at. So this section is really about helping you get into the world of the congressional staffer so that you're better able to connect with them in your meetings. And as Brett mentioned, we're going to have lots of time for Q&A. So let's dive right in. We'll start with our legislative plan for this lobby day and for the next several months, taking us through the election. So for this lobby day, the keys that we're going to be working from are sensitivity, adaptability, and building clout. We need to be very sensitive to the three concurrent crises that we are all dealing with right now. And that is, of course, climate change. That is the global pandemic. And that is the protests that have resulted since the death of George Floyd at police hands. That's a lot. So we need to be very sensitive to all of this. And because of these three crises, we need to be adaptable. And ways that we're being adaptable are, number one, of course, we're having a virtual lobby day. So the fact that I'm giving you this presentation now via a webinar and not in person in DC is a really big sign of that. We've also had two primary asks on two separate bills for the first time. And I presented on this on the May 28th webinar, which is available on CCL Community if you want to check that out. And the reason for that is that with so many members of Congress focused on the job losses within their district, with the deaths as a result of the pandemic in their district, jobs is a really big focus. So that's, we have two primary asks to adapt to that reality. And we really focused on jobs because we have unemployment that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. Jobs is always something that members of Congress care about, even more so now. Another way that we are being adaptive is, I think that if you were on the group leader call a couple weeks ago, Madeline pointed out that you always have the ability to reschedule. So the times where you might want to offer to reschedule, number one, is if you and your team find that you can't follow CCL's one rule of showing appreciation and respect at the beginning of the meeting. If you find yourself in a place where you just can't do that, you should remove yourself from that meeting. And if your whole group can't do that, you should offer to reschedule for a later time. The other situation that has come up is if volunteers are concerned that their member of Congress is focused entirely on the protests and related issues. If you were to say, hey, we want to be sensitive to where you are, would you like to reschedule? They may say yes, but most of them will say no. And if they say no, then you have a green light permission again to have a meeting entirely on climate change, which is where we're trained. We are at Citizens Climate Lobby. That's probably what they expect us to be talking about in any case. So that's something that I just want to remind you is out there, and that's another way we're being adaptive. And then the last thing we're trying to do for this lobby day is building clout. And I want to talk about this a little bit more. We always have our aim of moving things forward in the legislature. We want to get more co-sponsors. We want to move bills. We want to pass legislation that is going to reduce emissions. But one thing we've been focusing on more on in recent lobby days, and especially this one, is building our clout. And this is clout with other organizations. This is how they view CCL. This is when they think of CCL. If we are able to build more clout, they'll think, wow, that's a group that can get things done. And the primary way that we are doing this at this lobby day is really about partnerships via the asks and the supporting asks. So we've been focusing in the supporting asks in particular on bipartisan bills that have a coalition behind them. And when we're advocating for a bill that there's a coalition behind already, what this allows for is side-by-side comparisons of what you all can accomplish when you're pushing for this bill and what other organizations can accomplish when they're pushing for it. And I think that what's going to happen when they say that this really hasn't happened. It hasn't happened that we have these side-by-side comparisons towards a common goal. And so I think that a lot of organizations just don't know what to think about CCL. Our structure is so unique. Our focus is so unique. And so I think that after this side-by-side comparison, they'll realize the power that you have. Maybe we'll even help the coalition be able to pass something. And this is where the clout comes in. Hopefully that will lead to future invitations to be at the table. When they're seeking input from stakeholders, when they want to pass legislation to get climate legislation passed, reduce emissions, after we've built enough clout, they'll be saying, where is CCL? We need them at the table. So that's how we're trying to build clout. And I also want to say with that, we are going carefully with that. We do recognize that our focus has been a key element of our success. And we really, really, really don't want to lose that key. So while we are expanding to have more bills with coalitions behind them, we are still maintaining focus. So those are the keys to this coming lobby day, sensitivity, adaptability, and building clout. Now, looking up to and a bit past the election, our keys are going to be understanding the context in which we're operating, working closely with Congressman Deutsch, and focusing on ratchets. And so let me talk about each of these things a little bit more. So in terms of the context, we have a very limited time for legislating before the election, and we have a very distracted Congress. So to a certain extent, we always knew this was going to be true. We always knew this was going to be a presidential election year, and that is always very distracting. People are going to be campaigning basically from July until the election, and so that always compresses things. But then at the start of this year, it seems like a lifetime or two ago, but in January, Congress's time was almost entirely taken up by impeachment hearings. And that compressed an already short legislative session. And then, of course, as I've already mentioned, we have these other two crises, the COVID crisis and the crisis surrounding the protests. So we've always known that we are going to have a short legislative session, and Congress, we know, is very distracted. So that's the context we're working in. So let's say we get past the election. What about the lame duck? Now, there's an interesting history here, because in the last Congress, the 115th Congress, now we're in the 116th, but in the 115th Congress, that was actually the first time the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was introduced. It was introduced in the House as H.R. 7173 with three Democrats and two Republicans. A third Republican joined 2 days later for perfect parity, three Republicans, three Democrats. And then 3 weeks later, also in the lame duck, on literally the last day of the session, the Senate companion bill, S-3791, was introduced with a Republican senator and a Democratic senator. And the reality, especially with the Senate bill, is I didn't know that was coming. I knew that the House bill was coming in advance, or I was trying very hard to make it happen and thought it might happen. But with the Senate bill, I had no idea that was even a possibility until 2 weeks before it was introduced. And the very day of its introduction, I was assured that day by the offices involved that it would not be introduced. And then a couple hours later, they told me, nope, just kidding. So we know that things can happen very quickly in the lame duck, but it's really hard. And we all have to remember the lame duck is always chaotic, particularly after a presidential election. There's some things that can make it more chaotic. For example, if the party in charge of the presidency or with a majority in the House or the Senate, if that changes, that leads to an additional amount of chaos. There's always a legislative backlog after people have been campaigning during an election. And I expect that to be particularly true this year as Congress has been focused on these two crises in particular. And they're working on basic things like, how do we vote? Do we vote remote? Or how do we even have debates? There's some really basic things that pretty much guarantee a legislative backlog and priorities, things that Congress needs to get passed are going to be pushed to the lame duck. Then, of course, things you always have out in a lame duck, you have staff turnover. All the staff who are working for a retiring member or a member who didn't win re-election, they need to find new jobs. There's the literal moving of offices. For those of you who have been on the Hill in November, you notice there's a bunch of furniture in the hallways. And so there's this actual physical moving. And then there's lots of new members. And so with the new members, they need to have their orientation. They need to hire their staff. They need to have committee assignments. All this adds up to the lame duck is a time of transition and uncertainty. And it is really not a good idea to count on big things happening in the lame duck. It is possible that they happen, but really I think what we want to be focusing on is starting the new Congress in a position of strength. So let's talk about the 117th Congress. Now, first of all, let's remember, every new Congress, all bills need to be reintroduced. And so HR 763, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, that is going to get a new bill number. And so this is the same for all bills that don't pass. They need to be resubmitted. And if they're not resubmitted, they're not up for discussion. And the key for us in the 117th Congress is going to be working closely with Representative Deutsch. And here I want to really say something. Sometimes we get a bit lazy here in CCL and we refer to HR 763 as our bill, but that's not really correct. We played a role in helping get it introduced and in the formation of that bill, but it is now Representative Deutsch's bill. He is the sponsor on that bill. He is the one who is most responsible for moving it forward. And it is most appropriate to say that it is Deutsch's bill. So some things that we need to work closely with him because we are going to remain interested in this bill. We want to support him by finding more co-sponsors, especially Republican co-sponsors, but we still are very interested in adding Democratic co-sponsors. We want to support him on technical fixes. So for example, there's some very, very straightforward, very basic things that need to be updated for if a bill needs to be reintroduced. Right now, HR 763 says that it starts this year in 2020, but the 117th Congress starts in 2021. And so we need to update that start year so that it's appropriate for a bill that is introduced in 2021. And it would make no sense to say that it starts in 2020 when 2020 is behind us. In that vein, we also need to update the schedule of emissions reductions, which is right now in section 9903, so that we're still getting to a science-based target by 2050. And now we just have less time to do that in. So we wanna help advise Congressman Deutsch on doing this. We also want to support his goals for reintroduction. At the start of this Congress, Congressman Deutsch really wanted to have this bill introduced early. And it was, in fact, introduced on January 24th of the new year, 2019. It is our expectation that he will want that again. And so what we are going to do to support Congressman Deutsch in that goal is we want to make sure that we are helping him find a Republican co-sponsor. He remains interested in keeping this bipartisan. So of course, Rooney is retiring, want to help him with that. Want to make sure that we get him advice on those technical fixes early so he can get it through legislative council. That can take a couple of months to get something through legislative council. So we want to get that to him in plenty of time. And I'll talk about this a little bit later, but in especially our November lobby day, we want to be talking to all the current co-sponsors who are coming back, make sure they're ready to, they're in touch with Deutsch's office and that they're ready to again hop on as co-sponsors, original co-sponsors, when it is reintroduced in the new Congress. And the last thing here that I want to highlight is we need to remember that we are not the only game in town. And for most people, we're not even their favorite game in town. This is not the only climate solution under discussion. And we still have a lot of work to do to, as I said last June, to earn the inside track to become the easy good solution. But we also need to be realistic that depending on how things go, there may be other bills that are moving. And you can expect that what we're going to do is we're going to evaluate those new bills through the same lens as we evaluated HR 763 when it was in discussion. And that was, we need to make sure that whatever bill comes out takes a big chunk out of climate emissions, carbon emissions, and that it is good for low-income households in this country. Those are our two red lines. And whatever solution is being discussed, we're going to look at it through those lenses. So how do we help Congressman Deutsch start from a position of strength? How do we earn that inside track? As I said previously, we want to focus on ratchets. Now, with a ratchet wrench, that only does work in one way. If you push it the other way, it just goes click, 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 and it doesn't actually turn the screw or the bolt that you're trying to turn. So we want to focus on things that only go one way. So what do I mean by that? What are some things that only go one way? Well, co-sponsors is one thing that only goes one way. Once you're a co-sponsor on a bill, the congressional record will show that you are a co-sponsor on that bill. And that means that you, at this point in time, you have tied your reputation to this bill and you've said this and something like it, I am willing to support. That's a ratchet. They can't undo that. And so we want co-sponsors on the bill. We want them to be ready to be back on the bill in the new Congress. And we're particularly interested in members of Congress, co-sponsors who are on the committees of jurisdiction. Right now, we're doing quite well on that. I think our current totals are at 6 on Ways and Means, 15, I think, on Foreign Affairs, and 6 on Energy and Commerce. I think that's correct. And also something we're very excited about, we have 19 co-sponsors who are members of the Congressional Black Caucus, 11 members, co-sponsors who are on the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and 29 co-sponsors who are on the Asian American and Pacific Islanders Conference. So we have a good diversity, a strong diversity of members of Congress who are already co-sponsors on the bill. All of that, those are important ratchets for support for this idea. Other ratchets are endorsements and statements of support. Let me talk about the difference here, because this can often be confusing. An endorsement says, I or the organization I represent support this bill as is, and we want to see it passed as is. A statement of support has a little bit more nuanced. It might be for an endorsement as well. You can do both. But a statement of support on its own says, we think this is a good idea. We support this. But it allows, in their own words, for them to say some things that they would like to see that are different. But it still sends a strong signal to members of Congress that this is a good idea from the person or from the organization who is writing this bill. And these are also ratchets. Once they're written, you can't roll them back. And this also speaks to a concern that a lot of you have had about the bipartisanship of this bill. And I want to assure you that I share the concerns that we have one Republican on this bill. I would love to see more Republicans on this bill. But here in these other ratchets, to me, is really what we've earned with just having that one Republican on the bill. It was clear to us, made clear to us, that some of those statements of support were only issued because we had that one Republican. So, for example, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they wrote a great statement, but we knew in advance the only way they would write that statement was if this was a bipartisan bill. That's really important. Another example is the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. This is a trade association with companies that have a presence in, but are not necessarily headquartered in Silicon Valley. And it includes companies like Google, like Facebook, like Alaskan Airlines, like Coca-Cola. Lots of companies whose name you would recognize. And the Silicon Valley leadership has issued a statement of support in principle. So they support this in principle. For them as well, it was essential that it be bipartisan. And for them, having Rooney on checked that check that box. Now, why is this important? This is important because Francis Rooney hopped on this bill without those endorsements, without those statements of support. Now that there are those endorsements and those statements of support, and these are ratchets, they only go one way, they can't be undone, that decreases the distance that the next Republican has to jump to hop on this bill. They don't have to leap as far to get on this bill as Francis Rooney did, and that would not have been possible. We would not have been able to close that distance if we didn't have that one Republican. So would I love to see more Republicans? Absolutely, I would. Do I regret having this been introduced in the way it was? No, I do not. These are important ratchets that we have earned, and we need to earn some more. Another thing that is a win for this is as mentions in the committees of jurisdiction or in hearings. And in this last Congress for hearings, carbon pricing, carbon tax, or carbon fee came up in 28 different hearings in Congress. And I think a lot of that is because of the work you have done to advance not just this bill, but the entire issue. And that again is a ratchet and something we'll be thinking about in November. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about November. So as I mentioned, we want to make sure this will be our focus for that November lobby day. So it'll be a little bit different, but we want to make sure that returning co-sponsors are still on board. At this point, hopefully we'll have all the changes run through with Congressman Deutsch. We'll be able to brief them on what those changes are and ensure that they're on board and that they've expressed their continuing readiness to be co-sponsor on this bill to Congressman Deutsch. Hopefully we'll also be able to get some new co-sponsors on there. We're also going to want to leverage the endorsements and statements of support in November in a way we haven't done before. We want to use the ones we already have and the ones we're going to get between now and then to remind all members of Congress that the gap of support that they would have to jump is now shorter than they thought it was. And this is an important time as well to cue more wins in the committees of jurisdiction. Another thing that's going on in the lame duck is both parties and their representatives on committees are figuring out what their plan is, not just for the next year, for the next 2 years. So having a presence in the lame duck enables us to get in there in this formative time and really raise this as a priority and help them think through and prioritize carbon pricing as they're laying out their agenda for briefings over the next 2 years. So those are things that we're going to be focusing on in November. So to summarize this section, for this lobby day, we are focusing on sensitivity, adaptability, and building clout. For the next 6 to 7 months, we are recognizing the context we're in. We're dealing with limited time and focus for members of Congress, and we're going to focus on supporting Representative Deutsch and his goals to reintroduce an updated bill in bipartisan fashion early in the 117th Congress. We're also going to be focusing over the next 6 to 7 months on ratcheting up support for this bill in lasting ways that make it easier for future co-sponsors to hop on this bill. All right, so now let's talk about meeting Congress where they're at. The first key always with meeting Congress where they're at is to remember that they're human beings. Staff and members are in fact humans. And I remember that when I was first starting to lobby with CCL as a volunteer, I had this other perception that politicians were this different species of creature that didn't feel the same feelings or stresses that I do, but that's just not true. They are in fact human beings with human emotions, human limitations. Another thing that helped me as I was going into this was to remember that the staff have to be nice to you. You're a constituent. And if for some reason they are not nice to you, it's probably because they are overworked and under-resourced. The amount of funding to pay for House offices hasn't increased since the 1970s. And so you have a lot of generally young people who are doing public service for their country, who are working in a very stressful situation. And if you can show that you understand the difficulties they're going through, if you can demonstrate, that's a great way to change the tenor of the discussion. If that staffer, that overworked and under-resourced staffer, happens to forget that they have to be nice to you. And another thing that's really important is to remember that they've just lived through the same 3 months that we have. It's as awful as it's been for us, it's been as awful for them, but because they're hearing the horror stories from their district and having to deal with angry and upset people, it's just possible it might have even been worse. So remembering their humanity is very important. Also, so as humans, some staff will be distracted, but some staff are going to be completely on their game. And you don't really know what you're going to get until you're in there. So my recommendation to you is to plan for success. Plan your meetings as if you have a staff member who has read the resources you send in advance and is fully ready to engage. Because if you plan for that, then you're going to be able to go deeper, go further. So have your open-ended questions ready to go. Have a game plan. Plan for success. Just remember that because they're working under such high-stress positions and there's been so much that's changed, you are very likely to have challenges. You're very likely to have staffers who aren't able to give you their complete focus, and that's okay. That's just the world we live in today. That also points to this disparate response, a larger theme, and that is that every office is different. This is something we've been struggling with since the pandemic began. Among many other things that members of Congress are, fundraisers, public speakers, they're also managers. And some are better managers than others. And so just remember that you may have, if you're having three meetings, some of your meetings may be very different. And part of that is going to be because your member of Congress might be a really good manager, or they might have room to improve. And the last thing here is to remember to treat them like professionals. And this really, I think, with respect to the protests, I know a lot of our volunteers have been very much affected and by this and really want to, are really emotionally involved in this. And that's wonderful. But remember, they agreed to have a meeting with Citizens Climate Lobby. And they expect this to be on the topic of climate. And they get paid to handle many issues all at the same time. So my recommendation to you is to treat them like a professional. Maybe you do want to say something at the beginning, but you don't want to take up too much time talking about something that is not the meeting they agreed to have. Certainly you want to acknowledge the difficulty that they're going through and dealing with so many crises, but deal with that, address it early if you feel it's necessary, and then move on to our issues. Move on to the meeting we agreed to have, spend as much time as you can talking about climate. Some last thoughts to bear in mind for this particular lobby day, there are a large number of retirements. And so I think we had around 55, I think it was 55 people who are either not coming back or renounced their retirement. And so the staff in their office know that come January, they're not gonna have a job where they do now. And so you have the regular staff shuffle after an election. Not all positions may be full. There may be new people in new roles, or they may be looking at other positions. So this may be an additional factor that may lead your aide to be distracted. And then another thing is, in the spirit of being adaptive, this is our first virtual lobby day. So really work on that practice transitioning between lobbyists. We're not going to be able to look each other in the eye or nudge each other or kick each other under the table. So we need to be really good on transitioning from one person's part to the other person's part. That's really important. And you should expect excuses regarding these other crises. What the manifestation of all these elements that I've been highlighting about these staffers being human is that they're going to feel the need to excuse themselves, why they're not as on their game as they're accustomed to being. And when they bring this up, what you can do is you can virtually point to the text in bold that is in bold at the top of both primary asks, which says, we know this crisis has to be your top priority. Point to that and say, yes, we know this has to be your top priority. Thank you for being responsive to your constituents. And move on. And I think that what that will do is that will help them help indicate that, yes, you really get it. The organization you are there representing really gets that this has to be their top priority. And once you get past that block for them, they're going to be more open to what you have to say. They're not going to be worried about how they haven't been able to prepare or how they're not going to be able to meet your expectations. Because I think the vast majority of staff really do want to be able to help and connect with constituents when they're in their meetings. So those are some tips on how to be prepared for your meetings.
Thank you so much, Danny. We definitely do. We have a full half hour here almost to do that, and just really appreciate, I know I speak for all of us on the line here, all 523 of us that are tuning in to listen and think through on this strategy on how to better read the room and prepare and make sure to be sensitive and still productive with our time together with our members of Congress. So thank you so much, everyone, for making it tonight, all 400 plus that stayed around through the whole training. Highlight just the importance of posting anything that we didn't get to in the forums. It is such an honor to continue to learn and work together and make the big impact that we're going to have next Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday on the Hill. And with that, I'll leave it to you, Danny, for any closing words of inspiration or perspective.
Go get them.
All right. With that, have a wonderful rest of your evening, everyone. I'll unmute all lines, and we look forward to seeing you all at the conference this weekend. Yeah.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.